sometimes, you know, we all need to hear that, don't we? You know, let it out sometimes, don't bottle it up. And there's so many different ways that we can let it out. But as we heard last week, a prayer, you know, so many people pray, even though they don't realize that they're praying. But people can express their hurt in many different ways. And we can express that within us and let it out in different ways. And some people do it in different ways. Some people write poetry or maybe keep a diary. Some people just pray. Some people talk to someone else. Some people, yeah, pray. Some people write on Facebook. They go on Facebook and write, don't they? They put all their hurt and anger onto Facebook. It's like, it's the place to express yourself. And for some reason, it feels like you're in the quiet of your room and you put all that out there. And perhaps a title for this is Don't Lose Sight of Who God Is, or Finish the Psalm. You go on, so someone might write, perhaps on Facebook, why is this happening to me? Why is everything going wrong? What's da 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 da? And grumble, main, really having a go, and then they stop. That went wrong, that went wrong, that went wrong. And that's their rant. They're letting it out. And that's what the psalmist would do. He would write it all down. He would write, why is this happening to me? Why is it all going wrong? Why are they after me? What's all this about? And, you know, when I look, I'm going to go back to the psalm that we've just, not the new one, the one before. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? You know, have you forgotten about me? How long are you going to just forget me, ignore me, whatever? How long will you hide your face from me? It's all written down in the Bible. It's poetic. And so it's all acceptable. But someone could be writing that. Where's God when I need him? Where have you disappeared to, God? Why? I'm here. What's going on? They might write that on Facebook. How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? This is really doing my head in. It's going in my head. All I can think about is this problem that I've got, this debt or this issue that I'm facing, and then they write it down on Facebook or whatever. You might write it in your diary. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? My life's miserable. Life, what's the point of living? People write these things down, don't they? They put it down there. Life's miserable. I feel like ending it all. Do you ever read things like that? I don't, because I don't look at it, but you know, people put stuff on Facebook. I feel like ending it all. It's my life's a misery. David writes these things. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. It sounds so cheeky, doesn't it? Sounds so cheeky. Here's a man talking to God in this sort of way. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. Give me some understanding, or I might as well die. I might as well die. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Ha, they're going to mock me. They're going to laugh at me when they see that I've died and I've lost. But he doesn't finish there, does he? This is where don't lose sight. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. That's what you don't see on Facebook, too much of that. You get all the rest, but not that last bit. People don't put, well, I don't say people don't, because some people must do. But too many don't put, but God is unfailing love. God, you are there looking over me, watching over me, or something. People, that's what's missing. People don't put it. They can put the grumbling. They can put, where are you, God? why is it all going wrong? They might write it in a diary, but where's the, but I trust in your unfailing love? You know, someone once wrote a whole bit, and I said to them, you need to finish the psalm. Because it's like a psalm, but it's half written. And David, when he wrote his psalms, I was thinking, when did he write this psalm? When did he write it? Because he had lots of trouble, and I was thinking of all the different times that he may have written it. He may have written it when he was running from Saul, the king at the time. Jonathan, the king's son, warned David that dad was going to get you. That my dad is trying to kill you. The king was jealous of David. The king wanted to preserve the kingdom for his own son. So David had to go on the run. And even though Jonathan knew that David would be king, the dad was wanting to preserve the kingdom for his son. So David goes on the run. And it says he went and he hid in this cave. And about another, and it says all the sort of characters, the dropouts or the people on the run, the discontented. It was the modern story that we, well, it's not that modern, but Robin Hood. He was a Robin Hood character. So David was like a Robin Hood, and all these characters came to him. But there he is now servant of the king, living in the palace, to living in a cave. Did he sit down at that point and write, Lord, what's going on? I was promised a kingdom, and here I am living in a cave with all these outlaws. Well, that's a coming down, isn't it? Was it then? Did he write it? When all these came to him. What about when David got fed up with Saul chasing him round, and he went and lived in the enemy territory? He said, I'm going to go and live in the enemy territory. And he goes down into the enemy territory, and some of the people recognize him and say, but isn't that the guy who killed Goliath? And so then he has to start pretending he's mad, he's insane, for them not to kill him or chuck him out. And they left him alone. Was it when he was there? At that point, he's like, I'm running from that king. I've come here and they've recognized me, and I've got to pretend I'm insane so that they leave me alone. So in his quiet time there, does he write the psalm then? You see? He wrote it in the middle of the mess, though, didn't he? Do you think he wrote it afterwards? Who thinks he wrote... Like, why would you write a psalm like, Where Are You, God? After the event. No, I don't think people are writing their rants on Facebook after the event. They write it in the middle of the event, when the washing machine's broken and the cooker then dies. They're not like, I'll write it next year, I'll write it down how miserable it was. They write it, oh, my washing machine's died now. Oh, my cooker's gone. What am I supposed to do? There's the rage. In the middle of the crisis, not after, a year later, David writes this, but he never loses sight of who God is. In the middle of being stuck between the Philistines and his own people, he's an outlaw, outcast, he writes his psalms. That's what I'm thinking. He writes his psalm. What about when he and his men had been watching over Nabal, and then he asks Nabal's shepherds, and they watch over the sheep, and he helps them out, and then he says, any chance of some food for my men? And the man goes, you must be kidding. What? Why should I give you lot food, you bunch of criminals? And he thinks, like, he's rejected by them. Does he write his psalm then? He lived amongst the Philistines, the enemy people. He goes out to go to war with them. What do? They say, we can't have you coming to fight with us because you might turn on us and join your own people. So they send him home. He goes back home, journeys home. He finds that raiders from the Amalekites have come in, burnt their town down, taken their wives, taken their animals and run off. Was it in the middle of that crisis? These are all the things that he lived through. He writes the Psalms. Where are you, Lord? I go out, I want to serve you, but we've gone out to battle. We haven't fought, we've come back. Our wives have been taken, our houses have been burnt down, my children have been taken, all my animals have been taken. Even my own men want to kill me because now that I've led them up there, everyone is against me. I'm on my own. Does he write the psalm then? This is a good one. It says, David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. See, Saul was always chasing after him, trying to get rid of him. And one time, and I wondered if, you know, Psalm 23, one time it says, David was, and his men were on this side, on this valley, and on the opposite side was Saul and his men. And they were sort of, it's like cat and mouse. One was over this side, and they probably knew that Saul was on the other side of the mountain or the hill in the next valley, or even on the other side, whatever it was. You know, when he writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." I don't know. When did he write these psalms? But he's in the middle. Most these troubled psalms are written in the middle of the problem, aren't they? When he's right in the middle of it, he writes a psalm, but he doesn't lose sight of who God is. He can write, "Where are you, God? Why are my enemies chasing me? Why do my enemies succeed? You know, why does that car that's just cut me up race ahead? And actually, he gets the green light, and I'm driving in the law, and I get the red light. Why? Why is that?" That's a silly one, isn't it? But, yeah. He's got away with it. He's broken the law, and he's got the light. Why do they get away with it? See, the psalm. He's writing it in the middle of it. You know, he had reason to write these things. Some bad stuff was happening to him all the time. He was under threat all the time, threat of death. And we have to write them in the middle of our situation. But he never lost sight of who God was. He never lost sight of who God is for us. And sometimes in our stress, we need to read something. We need to remember our Saviour. We need to read, well, I don't know, there's some good scriptures that perhaps could help us focus our mind. You know, in the New Testament of, you know, when Job, and you know what, I was thinking about this. A reasonably righteous man has good grounds to complain to God, doesn't he? Because if you lived a reasonably righteous life and bad stuff happens to you, you've got reasonable grounds to complain to God, yeah? And Job, who hasn't done anything particularly wrong, lives a good life and gets caught up in this dispute between God and Satan. And he questions, well, why has this happened to me? Why has this bad stuff happened to me? What have I done to deserve this? And the answer, God just says, "I'm far greater than you. If you understood who I am, you know, you wouldn't know where to start." And in the end, even Job, in his pretty righteous position, repents and acknowledges who God is. Of course, God blesses him. But, you know, we mustn't lose sight of who God is for us. In all, whatever difficulty hits us. So we can take it to him. We can take it to him. We can say, "Why is this happening to me? Why is that happening?" You might not get an answer, because everything hasn't been unraveled yet. But we can still acknowledge who he is. We always have to acknowledge who he is. But it doesn't resolve some of it just to hold it in. We, by all means, take it to God. Take it to him. Here, do you know he's bigger than you or me? I had a funny dream this week. And I woke up and I thought, wow, it's a real weird dream. I was, this is true, this week. And I think I think it's God telling me something. I was in Buckingham Palace. I think it was Buckingham Palace. It was in the royal household. And I was there. I must have been a guest. I don't know why I was there. I was a kind of guest. I was there for some reason. And I was just observing the stuff that was going on as I'm thinking I'm in this privileged place, and I'm looking around and I'm watching the blinds and the whatever the servants have to do. And there I am in Buckingham Palace. And Prince Philip comes and sits next to me, and we're watching telly together. Right, we're sitting there watching telly together. I'm sitting there with the Prince, you know, Prince Philip, watching telly together, and he goes, you wouldn't mind making us a drink, would you? I said, yeah, it's all right, I'll go and make you a drink. Yeah, the coffee, I think it was. You wouldn't mind making me a coffee. This is a dream I had this week, and I'm not making this up. This is a dream. And on the settee, there was somebody else there. And so there was like, I guess it was must have been, you know, dreams are funny things, but perhaps it was me, Prince Philip, and somebody else. Somebody else I knew. And they were sort of, I don't know, it was like they had their feet up and they were like sort of not behaving appropriately in that sort of, you know, they might have had their socks off and their feet on the cushions. I'm just thinking, wow, that's awkward. And, you know, he didn't say a word to them. And he just said to me, you couldn't go and make us a drink. And then I went off to make this drink. And as I went off, I heard water running. I'm thinking, oh, what's that? I better go and see what that. And hear this water gushing. Must be. And there was someone trying to fix the sink. And then they said to me, oh, could you get me a couple of buckets and things so that we can catch this water? And so I'm there now looking around for buckets to help the sink. And then another lady comes along and says, oh, here, I've made you a cup of tea. And then I said, oh, you couldn't make one for Prince Philip, could you? Because that's what I'm supposed to be doing. She said, oh yeah, I've done that already, don't worry. And there's a funny, and what I got from it? I got from this that God knows each one of us. God knows everything about you. He is King of Kings. He knows every detail about you. That person who had their feet on the chair, they were in a different circumstance to me. He allowed them to have their feet on the chairs because of the state what they were in at that point. See? He didn't sort of have a go at them because he knew them, and he thought, they're different to you, Dave. I let them put their feet on the chairs. He didn't pick them up for it. I was judging that person, but he wasn't. And this is my message. God knows all of your circumstances. I'm not sanctioning doing anything, but what I'm saying is he knows everything about you, God. He knows when you go to pray to him, he knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through, but he likes to hear you talk to him. He likes you to bring it before him. He likes you to say, you know what, I'm going through a right mess at this time. Take it to him. He knows. He knows you before you. He knows you. He knows what you're going to say. He knows every hurt that you've been through. He gives a little bit of leeway to you. That other person on the chair was getting more leeway than... Well, that's what I judged it as. Well, they got their feet on the cushions. There's no way I'm going to be doing that. I got my behaviour. I'm sitting there like this. They got their feet up in the royal house. That's awkward, that is. But God knows us. He has room for us. He knows what that person's going through and what that person's going through. In some respects, what he expects from that person and that person might be different. What he expects from you, from me, from that one, it's different. We can give of what we've got, we give it to him. But we can't, what we've got to be careful of is comparing ourselves and judging ourselves and judging them for having their feet on the cushions. That's what I got from that talk. So, well, that dream. That was a dream that happened this week. And it was like, I woke up and I was like, oh, wow, that's a weird one. But I was thinking, yes, God knows everything about me. He knows all about me. And he can ask me to make a cup of tea and I can go and make him a cup of tea. And that other person, he's not asking them to make a cup of tea, is he? He's letting them put their feet on the cushions. I'm not there going like, why don't you ask him? Or her? Or that one? Or, you know. I just say, I'll go make you a cup of tea. That's fine. I don't know why I got distracted. Perhaps there's another message. take it to the Lord. Take it to him. He can hear you. And he knows before you've even said it. And I think I'm going to finish there with a song once again. Yeah? It's a simple message today.